Good Morning Pensacola and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Gonna put the world away for a minute, pretend I don't live in it. Sunshine gonna wash my blues away. Has sweet love,
but are you playing Wash My Blues Away that they're not going to have a Blue Angels air show? What are you doing?
We didn't even play in this. I just picked out the Zac Brown song.
Yeah, the Ashley Moody letter is probably going to be of no effect, right? I mean, first of all, there are an awful lot of things that people would ask for to have reconsidered under the shutdown. I do not expect this to work. Also, might have been better to come a week or two earlier, you know? Like, hey, this is a problem that's coming. Can we prevent this? Because they're running up against the deadline. I mean, we're so far past the deadline now that, you know, trying to rejuvenate that plan. I maybe they could do it. You know, they do amazing things, but I don't have a lot of confidence in this. It's don't get your hopes up. Okay, I'll say that. Don't get your hopes up. Meanwhile, we have news from the toy world. The three games that have gone into the Toy Hall of Fame. Did you see this, John? We have results.
No,
we have slime.
Oh, like the Ghostbusters slime?
Like just slime.
Oh, okay.
The product slime, you know, is now going to be in the Toy Hall of Fame. We also have Trivial Pursuit, which is
I get that one.
I mean, that was, you know, widely played. I mean,
huge.
You can't go into a thrift store and not find a couple of old Trivial Pursuit. If not the game itself, then, you know, the boxes of extra questions from all the different editions. And then the third one.
You sank my battleship.
Battleship is not in the Toy Hall of Fame. You know, that originally was a game designed to be played on paper. I'm guessing, like, the fold, maybe you've had two pieces of folded paper where you keep track of their stuff and your stuff, and then they eventually made the plastic version out of it, and that's what we have today. So,
but yeah. Would it be, like, grid-like paper?
Yeah, probably.
And then you draw them.
Don't ask questions. Okay. I haven't seen the evidence. Anyway, so that's good. Also, gluten doesn't hurt you. Did you see this?
No.
Oh, this is... University of Melbourne did a study and basically discovered that when you really isolate all the factors, people aren't reacting to gluten. There's only a small number of people that actually have actual gluten responses. The reaction to gluten is no different than the reaction to a placebo. It's people believe, they've believed the hype that gluten is killing them, but it's not. It's actually other things like fermentable carbohydrates or FODMAPs is what they're called, by other wheat components, like not the gluten component, but by other parts of the wheat, or by people's expectation, the placebo effect and prior experiences with food. And gluten is like the convenient target. Oh, it must be the gluten.
Nah. So you're saying I can't use that excuse anymore when
I'm saying go back to eating gluten. You're probably going to be fine.
I know, but I don't like the food, though.
The findings indicate that, you can eat gluten.
I know, but I'm saying if it's something I don't like, I use that excuse.
Oh.
What? To get out of it.
How would something with gluten be something you don't like?
I don't know. I just used it as an excuse.
The findings indicate that this is a specific kind of gluten allergy, is part of a broader gut-brain interaction spectrum more closely related to conditions like IBS than to gluten disorder. So see? Good news! You can eat your gluten again.
The History of the Blues is presented by Dale's Marine Construction.
In 1976, the Blue Angels were kept busy taking part in air shows across the country. America was in the midst of the year-long bicentennial celebration, and the Blue Angels were in great demand. June 15th of 76 was also the 30th anniversary of the very first performance of the Blue Angels. During the 76 season, the squadron flew 80 shows, including a huge 4th of July performance at NAS Willow Grove, Pennsylvania. The season ended on October 21st with their homecoming show on board NAS Pensacola. The following season began tragically with the loss of a plane and pilot during winter training at El Centro. Lieutenant Niall Kraft was flying in the number 6 jet when his plane went down. Because there wasn't enough time before the start of the season to select and train a new pilot, Lieutenant Vance Parker, who had flown in 74 and 75, returned to the Blue Angels for the remainder of the year. The Blue Angels passed a special milestone on October 8, 1977 in Atlanta when they flew their 2,000th public demonstration. During the 1980 season, the Blue Angels performed their breathtaking air shows in 48 U.S. cities plus Canada and Puerto Rico. It was after an April show in Puerto Rico that they added life-saving to their list of accomplishments. While en route to their home base in Pensacola, Fat Albert, the C-130 transport plane, heard a Mayday distress call come over the radio. A 10-seater civilian plane was far from shore and desperately low on fuel. Worse, they were lost and couldn't find any land on which to put down the plane. Though in contact with the Miami control tower, they were unable to get a radar position to guide them to safety. If they weren't found quickly, they would certainly crash at sea. So Fat Albert veered off course to search for the lost plane. Once the small craft was sighted, Fat Albert flew in close to escort her to a small island with an airstrip. The lost plane touched down with less than 3 minutes of fuel remaining in her tanks. Fat Albert, having saved the lives of all on board, flew home. I'll be back with more after this.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction, proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
One of Pensacola's native sons flies with the Blue Angels. Then tragedy strikes. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
6:16 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Seeing some minor delays on Highway 29, both northbound, southbound, and 9 Mile intersection right there. But it's about a 3 to 5 minute delay. Nothing else is on the big board right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Tune in today at 9 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when Rob Gregg, the president of the National Association of Veterans Upward Bound, and Amanda McCray, the coordinator for the Veteran and Military Family Service Center from Pensacola State College, will be on the show discussing our veterans and military. This will be a very informative show that you don't want to miss. Today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things, people, love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Diane Yap, a professional seller of opinions, perhaps you would call her an influencer, who made waves this week for suggesting that instead of receiving SNAP benefits, it can be spent on almost any food item at the grocery store. Perhaps wealth-impaired persons should simply be given Nutriloaf to keep them alive. For those of you who do not know, Nutriloaf is a bland, nutritionally complete food sometimes referred to as prison loaf, because it is given to justice-involved persons who misbehave or cannot be entrusted with utensils while incarcerated. Yap wrote, "The point of EBT is to ensure people don't starve to death. That's it. Even if we agree that it's a worthwhile goal, it can be achieved with Nutriloaf. Nutriloaf provides the correct incentives. You won't starve, and you'll be motivated to earn enough money to eat real food again." How dare she? Does she not realize that we are doing everything we can to make people dependent on government rather than to give them reasons to be self-reliant and to render government assistance unnecessary? And does she not realize that the point of Snap isn't merely to keep people alive, but to give them a quality of life that is similar to the next level up the socioeconomic ladder, but who does not qualify for the assistance themselves? The idea is that people who do go out to work won't get ahead of the people who don't go out to work. We're trying to show people that government can be your sugar daddy too, giving you just as sweet a life as any job or man. And also, how dare she say that it would be okay to make people experiencing lower income styles eat food that is completely nutritious and would have been enthusiastically received as life-saving for millions of starving people over the history of the planet? And how dare she offer a food used as punishment for law non-conforming persons to be used as some kind of incentive for the economically disadvantaged? Do they not deserve a nice steak and a Coca-Cola and some cool ranch Doritos just like the rest of us? Of course they do. And just because every once in a while someone who works at one or more jobs and has thus earned too much money to be eligible for SNAP has to stand in line at the grocery store watching the unemployed person in front of them use an EBT card to buy groceries they can't afford for themselves, how is that a bad thing? That just reminds them how great government really is and gives them more reason to give up the silly job or jobs, gain back their free time by leaving the labor market and live off the dole like so many other lifestyle entrepreneurs do. In fact, rather than reducing the quality of food government provides to SNAP recipients, we think many other goods and services can follow the SNAP model of providing a better quality of life through government assistance. Instead of inferior and inconvenient public transit, which you might call the neutral loaf of transportation, why not give transit-challenged persons government Fords and Chevys so they can arrive at the grocery store in style when they go spend their SNAP money? Why should the fact that they don't earn enough to afford a car themselves mean they don't get to enjoy the same level of luxury and convenience as people with one or two or three jobs can? Second, instead of having to wear hand-me-downs, thrift shop recycles, or bargain store offerings, let's recognize the right of the poor to look and feel good about themselves by giving them a clothing allowance at Ross or TJ Maxx. And really, if they're going to get government clothes, why shouldn't they be able to get them at Target or Kohl's or even Dillard's or Nordstrom? After all, why should finance-constrained people have to dress like they're finance-constrained? Don't make them wear neutral loaf clothes. And third, why should people who earn the least or not at all in our society have to suffer the indignity of living in older, smaller, or less desirable accommodations? Can we not find it in our hearts to give them all single-family detached three-bedroom homes in nice neighborhoods? If we're going to create a social society, a social safety net for food, clothing, and transportation, why not for shelter as well? Don't make them live in neutral loaf homes. If government is going to be the sugar daddy, well, let the sugar daddy sugar. Sugar. So no, there is no place in our society of equity and economic justice for people like Diane Yap, who subscribe to the mean, horrible idea that people should enjoy only the fruits of their own labor and get just enough help from the rest of us not to perish. Take your wicked ideas about self-reliance and the profit motive elsewhere. We see you for what you are, you filthy free market capitalist. Woe unto all who offend. Second, Vice President J.D. Vance, who last week said one of the most bigoted, intolerant, hateful, judgmental things we have ever heard a man say when talking about his wife, Usha.
Do I hope eventually that she is somehow moved by the same thing that I was moved in by church? Yeah, I honestly do wish that, because I believe in the Christian gospel, and I hope eventually my wife comes to see it the same way.
That's right. In front of a crowd of Ole Miss students, Vance actually said that he hopes his Hindu-raised wife might one day come to accept the Christian gospel as he has and join him as a faithful Catholic. If your jaw's on the floor as mine was, you already understand just how atrocious this is. Does this man have no shame? Wanting his wife to renounce the religion of her parents and of her youth, separating her from the traditions of her family just so she can be assured of her salvation through Jesus Christ and her place in eternal communion with the God of the Bible? Expressing his desire that their love for each other might continue for all eternity in heaven? How dare he care about her eternal soul? Who exactly does he think he is to insult her like that? Obviously, this man has never realized how demeaning it is to all the other religions of the world to claim not only that there is a single true religion, but it's the one he prefers, Christianity. The arrogance to deny our core tenet of pluralism, that all paths lead to the top of the mountain and that it doesn't matter what you believe about Gaia, as long as you believe something about her that works for you. Now, I know some of you may realize that in claiming that all religions are equally valid, we're also, of course, saying that all of them are equally mistaken. In other words, by our declaration that there are no real fundamental truths about God, whoever she is, we are actually insulting every single one of the world's faith traditions, which at least all agree that what you believe about such things matters. But have no fear, dear brethren. We know that our form of dogma, that there are no true dogmas, is just the kind of dogma that everyone else should accept. Or else. So when Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one may come to the Father except by him, and then J.D. Vance has the temerity to actually believe this and hope his wife will as well, we rightly condemn such narrow-minded and arrogant claims that all other religions are somehow off track or misguided. Instead, the real truth is that all religions are off track and misguided, which is why it's perfectly okay to believe any of them, as long as you don't really believe any of them. It's really believing in anything that bothers us. Our core faith, that you should not have core faiths, is of course the only core faith that really matters, especially since our core faith says that everyone else's core faiths are wrong. And that's why we spend so much time going around trying to evangelize everyone with our holy gospel of uncertainty and indifference, trying to reason, cajole, and shame them into accepting our faith and lack of faith instead of their own faith in whatever they currently have faith in. So for standing in the way and daring to claim that someone from another religion should convert to theirs, we cast thee out of our talking circle of total inclusion for everyone except those who think that not everyone should be included. See? It's totally logical. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Kelsey Grammer, the 70-year-old Juilliard-trained actor who became famous portraying Dr. Fraser Crane, the mildly pompous psychologist from Cheers, whose most sympathetic quality was having to endure his marriage to Lilith. Well, this week, Grammer announced that he and his real-life 46-year-old former stewardess wife Katie have given birth to their fourth child together after 14 years of marriage, which brings his total number of babies manufactured to the unbelievably irresponsible total of 8. One with his first wife, one with his girlfriend before his second wife, with whom he had no children, and 2 with his third wife before marrying Kate, who now they have assembled 4 more. Where, oh, where to begin? But before we begin to explain the grounds for excommunication, we do want to commend Grammer for so boldly practicing the fine American art of non-contemporary polygamy. You know, having multiple wives, just not at the same time, thus decidedly helping to undermine the silly Christian concept of marrying just one person forever. Anybody who over time has so many marriages and children, legitimate and otherwise, with so many different women is really doing excellent work to show people that till death do us part is a pretty silly restriction. So well done on that front. But not at all well done on being the supervisor of his own out-of-control baby breeding factory. 8 children? Do you not realize how much work we've invested in making people want to avoid having children? Because of the damage to the environment? Because of the scarcity of resources available to raise them on a planet of 8 billion people? Because of a general terror that this world is no longer worth bringing a child into, despite human existence being, you know, more prosperous than at any time in the history of the planet? And because of the awful loss of personal fun when you have to stay home at night instead of living your best child-free lifestyle. For what? So that other people can have life too, and so that you can reap the blessings of maturity that only come from parenthood? Seriously? We finally have people delaying marriage, delaying childbirth, and reducing the number of children they have and thinking this is perfectly fine, and then you come along and make 8 of them? You've done all this great work to degrade the institution of marriage, and then you turn right around and live out the biblical directive to be fruitful and multiply. You literally multiplied yourself pretty much everywhere you had the chance. Talk about spreading your seed. Who do you think you are, Nick Cannon? And aside from the chauvinism of Tom Cruising, you know, constantly marrying younger and younger women as you continue to get older and older, you've now joined Al Pacino in the Old Father's Hall of Infamy, thereby ruining the work we've done to get parents who have made a baby or two to also stop having children too early in life. Even getting Katie pregnant at 46 only serves to remind middle-aged women that there are many more children they could have if they're willing, even past their 40th birthday. How dare you take away people's excuses for not having more kids? No, Mr. Grammer, you know full well that our family size motto is be fruitless and subtract. So for reminding people that you're never too old to make more children, for reconnecting the ideas of sex and childbirth that we've tried so hard to separate, and for ruining the planet with 16 more carbon footprints, we hereby cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
I was particularly proud of 16 carbon footprints, but John, there's traffic for you, John.
Let the sugar daddy be sugar.
Let the sugar daddy sugar. Sugar.
Sugar. That was good. All right, let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. Highway 29 southbound, right around 10 Mile Road. See, in just a couple of minutes. Delay in that area, but everything else, I-10, I-110, even 90, 98, all look good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. We got time for a quick headline there, David?
Sure. A sixth suspect is in custody in the suspected Halloween terror plot that was allegedly being planned in Michigan. FBI Director Kash Patel says the latest arrest was made in Washington State. Three men were arrested last Friday in Dearborn. Two others have been arrested this week in New Jersey.
Very good. Thank you so much for the update. Local news coming up next after Fox. Sugar.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Travelers across the country facing hundreds of cancellations and long delays as 40 major airports cut flights because of the government shutdown now in its 38th day.
The FAA has ordered airlines to reduce the number of flights by 4% starting today, ramping up to 10% next week at the nation's busiest airports, including Atlanta, Denver, Dallas, Orlando, Miami, and San Francisco. The National Air Traffic Controller Association President Nick Daniels says staffing issues are getting worse as they've now missed two paychecks.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal over on Capitol Hill, a test vote on a new plan scheduled for today.
That would include long-term funding for the Department of Culture, the legislative branch, and the military until next fall. It would also include a promise for a vote on Obamacare subsidies.
And that is Fox's Madeline Rivera. And President Trump is going to meet with the Hungarian Prime Minister at the White House today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 63 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast in a few minutes with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. Well, anybody who's been stuck in traffic heading on to or off of Pensacola Beach will probably be excited for improvements to the toll plaza. That project will be moving forward after a vote from the Escambia commissioners yesterday. The improvements should make traffic flow faster, smoother, and
the new structure will also be safer and will serve as a better flow to the beach by reducing the bottleneck at the current toll plaza.
District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, she says the project will also lay the groundwork for future traffic improvements by laying fiber from that toll plaza to the first traffic light. She says the equipment was actually outdated and parts had to be purchased from eBay to make repairs previously. Now, this construction could begin as soon as next month. It is expected to wrap up by the end of next June. Escambia County Public Schools are partnering with Mana Food Pantries for their annual holiday season food drive. Now, this year, the school district says they're hoping to collect 20,000 pounds of food for those in need. The food drive runs until December 5th. They say items needed include canned items like mixed vegetables. They could use oatmeal, peanut butter, canned chicken, tuna. Community members can participate if they'd like by dropping off non-perishable food donations at any Escambia County public school of their choice. Well, it is day 38 now of the longest government shutdown in American history. The FAA has canceled flights nationwide at 40 different airports. Now, while flights were not specifically cut from the Pensacola airport, we are potentially seeing some trickle-down effects here. A flight from Miami to Pensacola was canceled this morning, also seeing at least one departure canceled, another delayed until the afternoon. Now, if you're flying out of Pensacola today, just monitor your flight status. Check through your airline app or the Pensacola Airport website at flypensacola.com. The Secretary of Transportation says flight reductions are about prioritizing safety. Escambia County Commissioners discussed economic development and career options for young people in Escambia County yesterday. They say educational opportunities come around at early ages.
From middle school, you know, sixth, seventh grade, as they start to go down a path where they can go and get that work experience and also tie that together. So as they move from a certificate to an associate's degree to a bachelor's degree, there's those opportunities and those pathways are there. It's just not been illustrated very well for the population.
Florida West CEO Chris Plante, and he says about 70% of jobs being created now don't require a four-year college degree. He says certifications and associate's degrees can also generally be acquired at low cost and sometimes even for free. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Even not seeing any delays either. I-10, I-110, everything is flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be looking at a nice day today with warmer temperatures, high near 77 degrees. Small 20% chance of a stray sprinkle overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Saturday, small 20% chance of rain, otherwise partly cloudy skies, high near 78. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. For Sunday, high near 76 degrees, mostly sunny skies, and temperatures Sunday night dropping into the 40s. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team, down at the WEART Weather App. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 63 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st, and this year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent. Affiliated Insurance wants to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meets your needs, not theirs. Make enrollment hassle 850-477-5840 and make that appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today. Policies have limitation. Health insurance from Blue Cross Blue Shield Florida Incorporated, BVA Florida Blue.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stories.
The city appears to be ready to
engaging podcasts and various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today. From News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Let me put it this way. You look at all nine verbs together, and you're looking at a spectrum of powers from the most sort of negative, nullify, block, prohibit, void, to the most affirmative, direct, compel, and then also powers in between that are more intermediate, regulate, investigate, and so forth. So the natural common sense inference from that grammatical structure is the intention of Congress to sort of cover the waterfront.
Well, possible, General, possible, except Congress did take out a whole bunch of verbs. It took out confiscate, vest, hold, use, administer, liquidate, sell, which were in the prior statute. And crucially, what it doesn't have here is anything that refers to raising revenue. So it has a lot of verbs. It has a lot of actions that can be taken under this statute. It just doesn't have the one you want.
Oh, it was To say it was a spanking might be being too kind. When the Solicitor General for the United States, John Sauer, who is a very, very capable Supreme Court attorney, has to go to the Supreme Court on Wednesday and spend a little over an hour for his part, and then Neil Katyal, who is also an extremely capable Supreme Court attorney, and in the end, about 2.5 hours, talking about the tariffs and the authority that the president doesn't have to levy them. John Sauer's trying to explain that he does. And then all the Supreme Court justices basically had to explain to him that he's wrong. It was brutal. It really was. Like in this case, okay, this is an argument. There's a lot of details. It's actually a lot easier to understand than redistricting. The short version is that Congress has the original power to regulate foreign trade, foreign commerce, and also the power to tax. They can sometimes delegate with specific limitations, time restrictions, and other kind of quantifiers over to the president the ability to do things, which they did in what's called the IEEPA, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which created in 1977, gives the president the power to, quote, deal with any unusual and extraordinary threat which has its source in whole or substantial part outside the United States to the national security, foreign policy, or economy of the United States. Okay? And with respect to that threat, it gives him the ability to regulate importation or exportation of property in which any foreign country or national thereof has any interest. I know in English, okay, if there's a foreign policy or some kind of a threat to the United States, like fentanyl, like a big, dangerous trade deficit, the president under IEEPA can declare an emergency, and then he has the power to do a bunch of things. Well, there was a longer list of things that he had originally, and then what Elena Kagan is explaining is they took some out. As in, Congress actively removed some. What John Sauer and what the president wants you to believe is that they meant to imply the power to impose tariffs, even though they didn't say that, even though they didn't say anything about raising money, even though they didn't say levy duties, even though they didn't say tax. They omitted that, but they meant to imply it, which is a terrible way to read this statute. It's an incredibly irresponsible way. Congress historically is very careful about delegating away its power. And the idea that they would sort of intend, without saying so, to give the president the power to tax and raise revenue on imports, there's no basis for it. As even Amy Coney Barrett asked, can you show me another place where they use this kind of phrasing to give that power? Not really. Sonia Sotomayor, she was the most fierce. Of course, she's a liberal. It's easy to write her off as that. But no, the other justices did not help very much. She says,
sorry, counsel, it doesn't say regulate tariffs. It says regulate importations and exportations. You agree that they can't put taxes on exportations constitutionally.
Yeah, I agree with that, yes.
All right. So why should we think that it's natural then to think that regulate importation includes taxing importations?
If he has the power under IEEPA to regulate exports, and you don't think that means he has the power to issue a tariff on exports, why do you think he has that power on imports when it's the parallel grammar?
Why is it that Congress has always used regulate and tax together in the code? Are you telling us that with respect to its use of regulate in other statutes, the taxing reference is superfluous? They didn't need to do that?
what she's asking him is, when they give the power to tax, they say regulate and tax. When they don't mean to let you tax, they just say regulate. But since he's interpreting, he's claiming the power to regulate includes the power to tariff or tax, then obviously you don't need, what she's saying is, then you wouldn't have needed to ever say tax before. Why do they keep saying tax when they don't need to? And, you know, the clear answer is, it was rough. It was really rough.
Some time ago, you dismissed the applicability of the major questions doctrine, and
Major questions doctrine is the idea that an administrative agency of the executive cannot assume they've been granted a significant power. They have to explicitly be granted the power. Congress has to say so. Okay, they can't just infer it from other things. Well, inferring the power to issue wide-ranging tariffs on everything from everywhere across the board for any reason just by declaring an emergency is a major doctrine's question. Okay, that's what he's getting at, the major questions doctrine, okay? So this is Chief Justice John Roberts.
I want you to explain that a little bit more. I mean, it seems that it might be directly applicable. You have a claim source, an IEEPA, that had never before been used to justify tariffs. No one has argued that it does until this this particular case, Congress uses tariffs in other provisions, but not here. And yet, and correct me on this if I'm not right about it, the justification is being used for a power to impose tariffs on any product from any country for in any amount for any length of time.
Yeah. In other words, broad, sweeping economic powers, political powers are not cannot be inferred. They have to be explicitly granted. They didn't explicitly grant this power. The president's using this power, and there's no reasonable read of IEPA that would even imply that they intended to give him this power. It's not. That's basically what the Supreme Court has been telling him throughout this whole process. And by the way, there's all these rules about tariffs. Are you saying that the president doesn't have to obey those rules just by declaring an emergency? He can wave his IEPA wand and all of a sudden all of these, you know, thousands of pages on tariff regulations go away? And also, tariffs are always limited, targeted, specified, durational. Like, all that goes away because we're going to infer tariffs are implied under the power of regulate? I mean, this is, like I said, I've seen Supreme Court oral arguments that were very even. You know, like, it wasn't clear what the answer was. This is not at all like that. This was definitive. Everybody who watched this has said the same thing in their reporting, and now having listened to the entire 2.5 hours myself, yeah, the Supreme Court's going to strike this down. I don't know if it's going to be 7-2, 8-1, or 9-0, because at least Gorsuch, not Gorsuch, Alito maybe, raised a question too, and maybe Thomas, they might get two, okay? But I don't think so. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. One accident on the big board right now at Avalon Boulevard and Admiral's Road going southbound. Not seeing any delays associated with this. It's off to the side of the road, but I just wanted you to be aware. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the issue of the Supreme Court hearing the oral arguments over the question whether Trump's emergency powers include the ability to tariff everybody anywhere to any amount on any product, which is what he thinks. And listen, by the way, the theory here, the theory itself is not terrible. Okay, the theory is that the president has the ability to deal with foreign nations and to conduct foreign relations, especially in emergencies, particularly in warlike situations where there's threats. Okay. That's the idea. Normally, Congress controls taxes. Normally, Congress controls the power of foreign commerce. But they can grant some slices of that if they want to the president under these emergencies because he's the primary person to interact with foreign countries. That's the theory. And the president's been doing it effectively. I mean, he's been, you know, getting trade deals. He's been getting, you know, the fentanyl precursor reductions by China. He's been getting things like the rare earth minerals deal. Like, he's been using a power he wasn't allowed to use to get results. The problem is he wasn't allowed to use that power. And just because it works doesn't mean that you're allowed to do it. So Neil Gorsuch is going to jump in with a thing about the non-delegation. I mean, Congress actually cannot delegate away its core powers. You know, the checks and balances don't allow the Congress to simply abdicate its responsibilities.
I want to explain to me how you draw the line, because you say we shouldn't be concerned because this is foreign affairs and the president has inherent authority, and so delegation off the books, more or less. And if that's true, what would prohibit Congress from just abdicating all responsibility to regulate foreign commerce, for that matter, declare war, to the president?
We don't contend that he could do that. If it did,
why not?
Well, because we're dealing with a statute again that has a whole.
I'm not asking about the statute, General. I'm not asking about the statute. I'm asking for your theory of the Constitution and why the major questions of non-delegation, what bite it would have in that case.
Yes, I would say.
In other words, if we are supposed to believe you on this, then wouldn't it mean they could give away their power to declare war? Wouldn't it mean all of these other things they could theoretically give away, which they do not have the ability to give away?
Say by then you had moved from the area where there's enormous deference to the president, actually both the political branches, where here there's inherent authority, and piled on top of that there's a broad delegation.
You're saying there's inherent authority in foreign affairs, all foreign affairs, so regulate commerce, duties and tariffs and war. It's inherent authority all the way down, you say. Fine. Congress decides tomorrow, well, we're tired of this legislating business. We're just going to hand it all off to the president. What would stop Congress from doing that?
On your theory, on what you've offered us so far.
Can you give me a reason to accept it, though? That's what I'm struggling and waiting for. What's the reason to accept the notion that Congress can hand off the power to declare war to the president?
Well, we don't contend that. Again, that would be...
Well, you do. You say it's unreviewable. There's no manageable standard, nothing to be done. And now you're... Tell me if I'm wrong. You backed off that position.
Maybe that's fair to say.
Okay, all right.
That would be,
thank
I think, an abdication. That would really be an abdication, not a delegation.
I'm delighted to hear that, you know.
So, you know, when you get a Supreme Court attorney having to admit, yeah, I was wrong about that, it's over. I mean, and not just that one little slice. I'm just telling you the whole tenor of this thing. So Gorsuch keeps pressing. And then you had Neil Katyal, who was there representing the plaintiffs on the other side. And look, he said it's an illegal major questions doctrine violation. It's a violation of non-delegation. The statute itself doesn't give him the authority. Congress never intended this. It's an irreversible ratcheting up of the president's power if this were to be interpreted this way. That was something that the I think it was Justice Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett had brought up, that you can't ever undo this. If they were thought to have given this power away, they'd never be able to get it back. It was rough. And so this is Neil Katyal. This is on the other side. And the justices talking with him about, you know, why he's right.
Embargoes stop the shipment. Tariffs start the tax bill. They are first and foremost ways of regulating revenue. As some of your own opinions said, this is the way we actually chiefly got revenue for the first 100 years of our republic. Tariffs are constitutionally special because our founders feasting on like embargoes. You know, there was no Boston embargo party, but there was certainly a Boston Tea Party.
Over taxes, which are tariffs, okay, are like very much like tariffs because of revenue raising. See, this is one of the key issues that came up a lot. You know, the president under IEPA has the ability to declare an embargo against Venezuela or Russia or China or Iran or wherever. He does have that power. He can say no imports. We're not going to trade with the enemy during wartime, for example. Okay, because they need us and we're not going to fund them. That's, you know, that's a very normal use of this power. But the problem is that when you tariff things, you're now allowing it to come in and you're making money off of it, and it's a different kind of power, because historically we have a very big concern about the government raising revenue, that the president can just come in and put tariffs on American citizens who want to buy goods from abroad. That's a completely different kind of power. At least that's the argument that Neil Katyal and Benjamin Gutman, who is also arguing for Oregon in his particular case, the state of Oregon was part of this lawsuit. Now, the other side, what they say, and by the way, this is not a terrible argument. The other side will say, if the president can, or set quotas is another one, if the president can embargo, why can't he do something less than embargo, like create a tariff? Because we're still letting things in and we're profiting off of it. Why, you know, if he can put in a quota where we limit importation of, you know, Chinese air mattresses or, you know, iPhones to so many 100,000, why can't he not limit, you know, not put in a quota, but why can't he put in something less than that, you know, a tariff? It seems like he'd be able to do it all. Well, the answer is because they function differently. An embargo is an embargo and a tariff is a tax. A quota is a limited embargo and a tariff is a tax. And they're fundamentally different functions. And listen, even if philosophically you might say, well, if he could do the greater, why can't he do the lesser? That specifically came up. You can't assume that Congress has given away its core constitutional powers by inference, because it sort of makes sense that they would. They had the choice to do so. They didn't do so. They actually removed things from the list of powers, implying that anything left off that list was also intended to be left off. So this is, in my read, and based on the read of other people also who are, you know, court watchers, this is going to get struck down fast. Yeah, it's going to be 7-2, 8-1, 9-0 possibly. So that's going to mean massive upheaval because we've taken in tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs. Will we have to be refunded? Will the president try to find another way to justify them? Will he find a workaround? I don't know, but he's going to lose this case, almost certainly. 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, a lot of cars on the lot, about 300. They sell about 150 every month of good quality used cars, you know, 1 to 4 years young, 10 to 40 or 50,000 miles, kind of their sweet spot. Everything they sell is warranted to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they're going to take care of you, no problem. But they also have to buy a bunch of cars, and that's something we don't talk about because, you know, you obviously we want you to buy cars from them, but if you have cars to sell or a car to sell that's relatively new in great condition and low miles, take it to them. They'll buy it. It takes about 15 minutes. If you want a better price, they'll consignment sell it for you, where you might get a higher price. Takes a little bit longer. They can do that too, you know, whatever the case may be. But seriously, a great place to go buy good quality used cars. And they want to see you again and again. They don't want to just get you for one time, like a lot of used car places, just one transaction. They want you to buy the next 10 cars you buy from them. And they treat you differently as a result. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Avalon Boulevard southbound right around Admirals Road. We've got an accident that's off to the side of the road, so no issues or delays with that. Highway 29 southbound around Kingsfield Road, we're seeing some delays there going southbound. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, I got a couple of tickets to the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra, classically connected at the Sanger. You got to be able to pick them up today, but the show is tomorrow. So if you want to go, and you can be caller number two right now, 437-1620.
Think all art festivals are the same? Think Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola isn't your scene? Think you've heard all the music before, or that local theater is predictable? Well, foo around and find out. If you think you're not up for random adventures, can't be surprised anymore, or don't believe you can make memories around every corner, foo around and find out at Foo Foo Fest in Pensacola, Florida, October 30th through November 10th, 2025. Visit foofoofest.com to learn more.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
You should draw my wheels.
I do feel like pretty much that's what the Supreme Court said to John Sauer was, what you talking about, John? So, by the way, somebody said John Sauer's voice, Solicitor General, reminds them of Winnie the Pooh, the voice actor for Winnie the Pooh. I could hear it.
It does.
A little bit, yeah.
You're right.
I've been communicating with a friend of mine who's really, honestly, an expert on tariffs and importation, and he reminds me, and it's true, that if this gets struck down, the president may have other authorities that he can use to create the tariffs. So, even if it's over, it's not over. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
I mean, I can do it again if you want me to.
What did I say, John? I mean, going to the newsroom where David Wayne is eagerly waiting for me to remember who he is.
Yes, I am. Very eager. Well, President Trump hosting the Hungarian prime minister today at the White House. Viktor Orban's visit comes amid growing calls for Hungary to stop buying Russian oil as part of a pressure campaign to end the war with Ukraine. A federal judge putting restrictions on use of force by federal immigration agents in Chicago. Judge Sarah Ellis extended restrictions put on immigration enforcement through a temporary restraining order last month. The order limits agents' use of tear gas and other riot control weapons.
And we have a better joke. You ready? You know,
I'm ready.
Where the person threw the sandwich at the ice agent or whatever?
You're right.
Yeah. It's the bologna battery case.
Okay. I like that one. That's good.
We'd gone with butter battery before, which I think rolls off the tongue a little more Dr. Seuss-like, but here we are.